the Million Pound Radio Show. Please welcome your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel.
Good evening and welcome to the show. Later on in our sports feature, Ian Botham will be here telling us about his best scores and the dealer he bought them off.
Yep. And the England manager, Bobby Robson, will be discussing the problems he'll be facing in next year's World Cup in Mexico City. Heat, smog, altitude and, above all, useless players.
But before we begin tonight's show, we've been ordered by the court to issue a public apology for a libel in last week's show.
Yeah.
So, here goes. We, Nick Revel and Andy Hamilton, unreservedly apologise for the joke concerning Edwina Curry MP, a trapeze and a short-sighted camel. We withdraw this joke and recognise it is unfair, scurrilous and physically impossible.
We were legally obliged to issue that apology as part of the damages awarded to the camel.
That's right. But on a more positive note, we've had lots of mail from listeners this week, haven't we, Andy?
We certainly have, yeah. Here's one, for instance. Dear sir, I understand that the late night Saturday version of your show contains many coarse jokes about rampant sex, which are edited out of the 6:30 Friday evening version. What is the point of such censorship? Surely we should not shelter children from the senior realities of life in this way. Signed, Darren, age 6. P.S. It's not fair.
Here's another one. Dear Andy and Nick, congratulations. Well done. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? You have been chosen by our computer from among millions to receive the Reader's Digest. Oh,
and, look, here's one addressed to you, Nick.
Oh, right. Cheers. Dear Nick Revel, are you the same Nick Revel who used to go out with my daughter and then told her you were going to fight in the Falklands knowing full well that she was 5.5 months... Andy.
Here's one that's just addressed to those two little pillocks on the radio.
It's a miracle the post office got it to us, really.
Yeah, because there's no postcode or anything. Yes, the Beatles. And Nick has an exclusive interview now with the man who turned down the Beatles.
So, you're the man who turned down the Beatles?
That's right.
So what exactly happened?
Well, it was about 4 o'clock one morning and the neighbours banged on the wall, so I turned them down.
Turned them down.
Yes. Do you want a copy of my book, How I Turned Down the Beatles?
No. Andy.
Is that it?
Well, looks like it.
We've allowed 4 minutes for that interview.
Well, don't blame me. Blame that researcher, the one we got from Mr. and Mrs.
I mean, what are we going to do?
We'll talk about something else.
Well, I think I went to Birmingham this week.
Well, that'll do.
I had a terrible time getting there.
Yeah? Oh,
I got to Euston, right? Headed for the ticket office. A single to Birmingham, please.
You're going to Birmingham?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's because...
I mean, have you ever been to Birmingham? It makes folk look nice.
No, please. Single to Birmingham.
You won't like it.
Please, I'll miss my train.
I'll be doing you a favour.
Give me a ticket.
All right. There you are.
How much?
£83.50.
£83.50?
No, only kidding. I was just trying to put you off.
So did you get your ticket then?
Yeah, but I missed my train.
Why?
The porters.
Oh, the porters.
No, no, it's not like you think. It was the new British Rail helpful policy that slowed me down, yeah. I had one porter carrying a bag, two carrying me, and 27 of them asking me if I wanted to talk over any emotional problems, yeah. 3 hours.
Yeah.
So in the end, I had to get the 14:36.
This is your guard speaking, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. This is the 14:36 to Birmingham, which is an awful dump, but if you must go there, I suppose you must. We're due to arrive at 16:42, and I regret to inform you that we probably will. Thank you.
Excuse me, is this seat taken?
No.
It's a very nice day, isn't it? It's what I call a very, very, very nice day.
It's all grey and overcast.
I come from Birmingham.
Oh, I see.
I'm not disturbing you, am I?
Well, no, it's just I'm trying to read a book.
Oh, I tried that once. Difficult, isn't it?
Where are you going?
It was terrible. He just kept following me. Mm-hmm. So to shake him off, I went to the restaurant car.
Blimey, you were desperate then.
This is your guard speaking. In approximately 2 minutes, we'll be stopping at Northampton. For those of you travelling to Birmingham, this will be your last chance to get off before it's too late. You know it makes sense. Thank you.
Hello? Is this seat taken?
No.
I'm a Christian.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not.
Hey, look, that's fine by me, okay?
Besides, Jesus loves the lost sheep, and if he loves you, I must love you.
Yeah, do you think you could love me from a different carriage?
Yes, that's the typical defensive reaction I always encounter from non-believers. Go away, they say. Get stuffed. You're driving me mental.
All smokescreens to conceal their spiritual insecurity.
Ah, yes, the old kick in the shins.
Oh, and the punch on the nose, yes. And the spaghetti on the nose, on the head, yes.
The hurried exit. I've seen it all before.
I bet you had trouble throwing him off, didn't you?
I'll say he weighed about 12 stone. Yeah. Really difficult to squeeze him through the window. Yeah. Well, finally we got to Birmingham.
This is your guard speaking. If you look out of your window, you will see that we are now entering Birmingham. We told you.
What were you going to Birmingham for, anyway?
Oh, I had a court appearance.
Mr. Hamilton, you chose to defend yourself against my advice. I do hope you won't be wasting any more of the court's time.
I think the thrust of my line of questioning will soon become apparent, Your Honour.
Let's hope so.
Police Constable Harris, could you run through for the court once again the alleged events leading up to my arrest for alleged drunk and disorderly behaviour?
On the afternoon of the 14th May last, I observed the defendant stark naked outside Birmingham Cathedral singing Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick with a red and white traffic cone stuck on his head. I therefore deduced that he was inebriated.
The court is not interested in your deductions, PC Harris, only in the evidence.
Mr. Hamilton!
If you would bear with me, Your Honour. PC Harris, I notice you read your evidence from a notebook.
Correct.
The notebook you presumably used at the time of my arrest.
No, sir.
No? No, PC Harris, and pray, why are you not using the notebook you used on the night of 14th May?
Because you ate that one, sir.
Because I ate... Did I?
Mr. Hamilton, what on earth are you trying to prove?
That the witness's account is unreliable, Your Honour.
Mr. Hamilton, 63 people witnessed your conduct that night. 14 are still in shock. One is still in traction. And the two Carmelite nuns are undergoing psychiatric treatment.
I get your drift, Your Honour. I will change my attack once again. PC Harris, you're a young man, aren't you? Exactly when were you born?
28th of May, 1957.
I see. Have you proof of that?
Well, my birth certificate.
Yes, your birth certificate, which in the hands of an expert forger can be made to prove just about anything, B.C. Harris.
I was born on the 28th of May, 1957.
Were there any witnesses?
My mother.
And is she in court today?
Well, no, she's dead.
Dead? How very convenient. Some might say too convenient, PC Harris. Assuming, of course, that is your real name.
Hey?
Don't think the vestiges of your German accent have eluded my friend here, Dr. Mengele.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes, Herr Mengele. Nemesis is at hand.
Mr. Hamilton.
So, Dr. Death.
Mr. Hamilton, this is not Dr. Death. It is P.C. Harris, and he's not on trial. You are.
Am I really? Or is it not perhaps the English legal system itself that is on trial here? Members of the jury, I ask
Mr.
you,
Hamilton.
What is a man?
Mr. Hamilton.
Prick him, does he not bleed?
Mr. Hamilton, there is no jury. This is a magistrate's court.
Could he, who is without sin, perhaps not sling the first arrows of outrageous fortune?
6 months.
Ask not for whom... What?
6 months suspended sentence.
6 months?
3 for the offence and 3 for overacting. Take that wig off.
What were you doing outside Birmingham Cathedral?
I don't know. I can't even remember being in Birmingham.
Hello, my name's Clive.
Really, Clive, we happen to be in the middle of a raid.
You were talking just now about crime and punishment.
Yeah, but we're not actually a phoning programme.
I'd just like to say I find the present government's obsession with short, sharp shock centres both abhorrent and futile. What these young offenders need is a good spanking.
Spanking?
Yes, spanking is a deterrent.
Yeah, well, frankly, Clive, I'm not...
Funnily enough, a few years ago, I went on a fact-finding mission to investigate birching in the Isle of Man.
What, you worked for the probation service?
No, this was an unofficial visit, and I saw several lads being birched. And I don't think they'll ever forget it. I'm sure I won't.
And you think spanking actually works, do you? Hello?
Oh, sorry, I was miles away. Reminiscing. I'm trying to recall it all accurately.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Clive, I'm not convinced, and besides...
Well, perhaps I could convince you with a demonstration with some young offenders. There might be some listening in now. We could maybe do it in the studio, or perhaps they'd like to pop round to my place. I'll just leave the address. It's 16 Brondesbury Gardens. That's B-R...
Well, we seem to have lost Clive there.
Gardens. G-A.
Can we have this off the hook? What have we got a phone in for anyway?
Well, actually, I'm expecting a call.
Hey?
From my girlfriend.
Well, why?
Well, it's about the other night. See, we were in bed, and we'd been, you know, and...
Was it okay for you?
Fine. Was it okay for you?
Fine.
Darling?
Yes?
When we... You know... do you ever sort of imagine I'm somebody else?
No.
Oh, just wondered.
Of course I don't. Well, hardly ever.
What do you mean, hardly ever?
Well, occasionally.
Yeah?
Only very, very occasionally I possibly fantasize just for a moment that you're somebody else.
Or who?
It's not important, is it, darling?
Oh, come on, who?
Well, if you must know...
Yes?
Ian Paisley.
Ian Paisley.
The Reverend Ian Paisley.
But he's horrible.
I think he's quite hunky.
Hunky?
He's sort of dominant. And he's got a very sexy haircut. You're not hurt, are you?
Oh, no, no. Why should I be hurt?
I only fantasize about him very occasionally.
Oh, well, that's all right, then.
And he's the only one. Well, virtually.
Virtually?
Well, once in a blue moon, I...
Yes? Who? Come on.
Cyril Smith.
But he's huge.
He's cuddly.
Oh, yeah, cuddly. Like the planet Jupiter. And who else then, eh?
Oh, Leslie Crowther.
Leslie That explains it. That's why when you get excited, you always shout out, come on down, isn't it?
You're so silly.
And who else while we're at it?
Yasser Arafat.
And?
Leon Britton.
And?
Keith Harris and Orville.
And?
Russell Grant.
You're a sick woman. Sick. You need help.
And once.
Go on.
Well, I couldn't think of anyone, so I just had to put up with the fact that it was you.
I see.
Sorry.
It's a bit late for sorry, isn't it?
Darling.
I don't much appreciate being used as a sex object for your perverted fantasies. Thank you very much. I think we'd better go our separate ways, don't you?
So that's it then?
That's it, yes.
I'm a bit relieved, really.
Really?
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've enjoyed our relationship. It's just that, you know, in bed... Well, I get so hot inside this Darth Vader costume.
Darth Vader costume?
Claire Rayner says there's nothing wrong with dressing to please your man.
Have you finished now?
Yeah, I just needed to tell somebody.
Okay.
the week.
One thing I'm sure we all care deeply about is the British heritage.
That's right.
And sadly, even as we speak, part of that heritage is rapidly disappearing.
We're referring, of course, to the much-loved £1 note.
The good old quid.
Now, Nick and I are not prepared to stand idly by and watch this little bit of heritage disappear, so we are launching our own Save the £1 Note campaign. And to this end, we are collecting...
For posterity.
For posterity. As many £1 notes as we possibly can.
That's right. So if each of you could put one into this collecting tin and then just pass it along.
Pass it along the road, thank you, yes. Of course, we cannot be sure of saving the good old quid unless we remove the threat of the obnoxious Johnny-come-lately £1 coin.
That's right. So we are also launching... our own Ban the £1 Coin campaign.
And to this end, we are collecting...
As a protest.
As a protest, yes. As many of these hated coins as we possibly can, with a view to returning them to number 10 Downing Street.
So if the studio audience would care to pass around this Ban the £1 Coin bucket...
Yep, just pass the bucket round there, and we will collect those in at the end of the show.
And don't worry, heritage-conscious listeners, we'll be giving you the address to send into at the end of the programme.
Right, now, coming up in part two, Nigel Lawson on how unemployment is caused by Halley's Comet.
And also, Lester Piggott reveals how he gets the best out of his horses by shouting the word dog food all the way down the final turn.
And now it's time, listeners, for my probing feature.
Andy Hamilton, out and about.
I'm standing outside the Molesworth missile base where yet again police and peace campaigners have come into conflict. I can see peace women being carried off by police officers, and over by the perimeter fence I can see Michael Heseltine in his blood-splattered flak jacket supervising the whole operation. Oh, and now he's beating up a Buddhist monk. Well, it's all happening here. And with me I have two local residents, Mr. and Mrs. Rhodes Brown. Mrs. Rhodes Brown, how do you feel about the peace protesters?
Well, it's none of their business, is it?
Quite so.
Local property prices have plummeted. Why? Because these people are a health hazard.
Well, what about the missiles?
You can't catch lice off a missile, young man.
You see, I think the key point is this. Mm-hmm. I've just bought a Chesterfield three-piece suite.
A three-piece suite?
Exactly. A brand new three-piece suite. Now, without cruise missiles, there is nothing to stop Russian soldiers marching into this country and sitting on my sofa.
Well, listeners, here I am actually inside the missile base itself. And with me is Hiram Schwarzkopf, commander of US forces in this country.
Hi.
Commander, how do you answer the peace argument?
Well, you know, Andy, I think the problem with atomic bombs is that their effects tend towards the negative.
Well, now that's interesting.
That's why we're developing our first resource-conscious device, the carbon bomb.
Carbon bomb.
This generates such enormous heat that it instantly turns human beings into smokeless coal.
Good.
The Soviets are developing the Teflon bomb, which transforms people into saucepans.
How can you justify the chaos that these weapons
bring? Well, we've cracked that one with the neutron bomb, a controlled explosive device which arranges all the rubble into nice, tidy little piles. The infantry just go in with a dustpan and brush.
Yeah, but I mean, there's the indiscriminate carnage.
Indiscriminate? Not anymore. We now possess the Krautrum bomb, which only kills Germans. We've got a nerve gas that poisons everyone except Masons. We've even got a bomb, which only attacks people with big ears.
Why?
Well, so far we haven't worked out a reason for it, but we thought we'd build a bomb anyway.
Meanwhile, outside the base, the confrontation continues. I can see Michael Heseltine tarring and feathering some Quakers over there. Apparently one of them tried a flower to his flak jacket and he got a bit upset. So this has been Andy Hamilton, out and about.
Nice report, mate. Very probing.
Well, I like probing, you know, because it's... I thought the phone had been disconnected.
Oh, that's my car phone.
Car phone? You haven't got a car.
No, I use it on the bus.
Give it here. Give it here. Hello?
I'm ringing up about washing powder.
Yeah, look, this isn't actually a phone-in.
I want to warn people about that new one they got out. The one that says on the adverts, means a happy home. It's not true. I bought a packet, right? And, well, it does provide a whiter whiteness and a pine-fresh fragrance, granted. But my wife still left me. So, you know, I don't recommend it. I'd say the marriage guidance people were still a better bet. Anyway, as a protest against this misleading advertising, I've decided to stop washing my clothes. Well, I've tried to stop sweating, you know, by walking around very slowly. But it doesn't work. So then... I tried blocking up all my pores with blue tack. But that was no good. All my posters fell off the wall. Well, I just think it's lucky I haven't put up my posters with drawing pens. I could have done myself a serious injury. It stands to reason, doesn't it?
Huh? What? Oh, yeah, right, cheerio.
We better get a move on.
Yeah, right. Okay, listeners, here we go. What is the difference between Edwina Curry MP?
You're tuned to 92.4 metres VHF, 1500 metres longwise.
Oh, excuse me, this is our frequency.
You're listening to the wonderful sound of Radio Rupert Murdoch.
Oi, oi.
The broadcasting king of the airwaves, and a much better idea than the stuffed shirt snobby outfit they call the BBC.
Radio Rupert, it's their dinkum.
Okay, let's crack on. It's time for the world news, read tonight by Sally Thompson. Sally is 36, 24, 36 and has no clothes on. When she's not news reading, she can be found modelling swimwear in the Bahamas. And with main points like hers, we don't mind her interrupting with an urgent flash, do we, fellas?
Mrs. Thatcher, Britain's Prime Minister, and a marvellous woman who's doing a fine job, incidentally, today spoke out against the unions. And Rupert Murdoch reckons she's spot on, and he's not just saying that because he wants a knighthood. He really couldn't care less about knighthoods, although if he were offered one, say in the New Year's Honours List, he'd graciously accept, as to turn it down would be very bad manners. In Beirut today...
OK, that's enough of the news. I'm bored with that. Now it's time for the latest test score. The Poms are losing. OK, now it's time for Thought for the Day. And the thought for the day is, don't you reckon Ken Livingstone's a poofter? And now here's Samantha Fox with the weather. And with warm fronts like this...
Wonderful Radio Maxwell on 1500 metres.
Yeah, what's going on? This is piracy.
And this is Robert Maxwell with Radio Maxwell's Sports Report. The sports headlines. Oxford United today bought Manchester United top scorer. Oh, I'm sorry. Oxford United today bought Manchester United. Top scorer in the Robert Maxwell Golf Classic at St. Maxwell Golf Club. Excuse me, you're on my frequency.
Listening in on 1500 metres. It's the wonderful sound of Radio Derek, coming to you live from Derek Smith's garage somewhere in Luton. And let's get cooking with Radio Derek chart countdown. Trevor, countdown.
Oh, sorry. Da, da, da,
da, da, da. And moving in at number seven, it's the Nolan Sisters with One of Us Is Missing, but We're Not Sure Who It Is. At six, it's Frankie Goes to Hollywood with We're All Gay and Boy Do We Go On About It. At five, it's Paul McCartney with Let Me Do the Singing, Linda. And at four,
I'm coming to you on 1500 metres. It's the wonderful vibes of the totally sacred sound of marvellous Radio Fundamental, coming to all you sons of Satan from a halal butcher somewhere in Westbourne Grove. And we have a request from the very groovy Ayatollah Khomeini, and he wants to hear Hold Your Hand Out, You Naughty Boy by Ruby Murray. So take it away, Ruby.
Hi,
how are you?
This is the Holy Church of the Airwaves reaching out to you on 1500.
500 metres. Ain't that right, Lou?
Sure is, Emmy Lou. Hey, you sure look happy today.
Sure am.
How come? Bought a new dress?
No.
Run over a couple of Mexicans on the way home?
No. Even better than that, Luke. I have discovered the Lord.
Shucks, and just how do you discover the Lord, Emmy Lou?
It's easy, Luke. Just send $50 cash to the church of the Anyway.
Well, praise the Lord.
Okay, this is the Church of the Airwaves. Tonight's radiophone is raising funds for the League for Teaching Homosexuals the Errors of Their Ways. There's so much to be done, and they desperately need more baseball bats. Okay, on 1,500 meters, John Milton.
Marvelous, magnificent Radio Rupert. Okay, time for a newsflash. Robert Maxwell today flew out to famine-hit Ethiopia in a DC-7 with 140 tons of food. And by the time he touched down in Addis Ababa, he'd eaten the lot.
I heard that, Murdoch. It's a lie. I only heard a third of it.
Get lost, Maxwell, you dud check, and get off my frequency.
Hey, whoa, get off our frequency.
And let's get on down to some hip Islamic rock.
Please, will you all just clear our frequency?
That's right, this is Radio 4.
Right.
And we were here first.
But now, Radio Derek is here with the chart countdown.
Derek! This is the BBC, for God's sake.
Right. So let's have a bit of respect, shall we?
You've been listening to the Million Pound Radio Show.
When you've had the chance.
And I'm afraid we've run right out of time.
Thank you very much.
So we won't be able to do the extremely funny joke about Edwina Curry MP and the cement mixer.
Shame, because that was a belter, wasn't it?
Real belter.
Yeah.
We've just got time to collect in the Save the £1 note and back the £1 coin collecting tins from our heritage-conscious studio audience.
And just glancing in the tins, I see they've responded quite disappointingly.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, on next week's show, we'll be visiting the psychic physiotherapist where you can get a sauna and message.
And the commander of HMS Conqueror will be revealing how he sank the Belgrano after a substantial cash offer from the Sun newspaper.
And we'll be asking, if the kids from Fame are so incredibly talented, how come they've been in drama school for the past 8 years?
Till then, good night.
The Million Pound Radio Show was written and presented by Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel and featured Penelope Nice and Jasper Jacobs. It was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.